It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Here we go.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Having some fun on a Friday. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Shasky out. Got to take care of the family, man. Baby LJ, a little sick. Michelle, a little sick. Get well, Shasky. Sleep downstairs. Stay for the kiddos, but do what you got to do. Just give them like a tray of tea and orange juice at the door. And then you got to, and it's a great excuse. See, Shasky, it's a great excuse to play NCAA football or Madden. It's always a benefit to the kids being sick.
That was the pandemic year. That's Benny's a pandemic baby, so he was born at the end of 2019. So that whole first year, he was just at home. Literally, he would get home, just hop on Call of Duty, and he'd just sit on me. That's all. He'd just sit on my lap, and that's it. No. Give him a fake little controller that's not turning on. Oh, he was having a blast.
Are you playing Call of Duty with him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We were doing some Warzone, Bonte.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's
the language skills he probably picked up from
that. Oh, man. Are you kidding me?
You're a hell of a father. Quincy
hey,
Davis.
You know
Quincy
what?
Davis and Alvin Rivera. They'll be joining us for breakfast. And we got a great list for the breakfast, September 6th, with Jax. Again, DM me if you want to go to Bay FC and Barcelona FC Tuesday night, August 27th. PayPal. That's going to be a lot of fun. Bay FC.
So I'd be sliding the DMs to say hi.
There you go. Sliding the Bontes DMs.
Well, not you, Brianna. You can't slide the DMs.
How's she feeling about the Warriors?
She wants tickets.
Yeah, no. She's got some Detroit Pistons games.
She's a football fan.
She's been killing on the fashion line lately.
I wouldn't know.
Fun fact.
Do you follow her?
You follow her, Lubs? Of course he follows her. Lubman, he went black. And he's never going back.
We keep it professional.
Hey.
Yeah, we do.
Are you saying he's the next Pitbull? He's Mr. Worldwide?
One of our roasters, by the way.
Easy now.
One of our roasters, I heard, was in Detroit and hanging out. So, you know.
Oh. I think I know. I think he has a rejoin. There you go.
No, not him. Not him. Oh, okay. Not him.
Another
not
one?
Him. Not him.
Oh, okay, not him.
Can you slide into my DMs for Warrior tickets? Hell no, you can't. Sorry. Well, who said that? Is that UC Steve? At UC Steve on YouTube. Hell no, you can't slide my DM for the Warrior tickets.
Hey, UC Steve, we'll see how the season goes.
Hey, UC Steve, I love you. You can come by the gay house, say hi. That's about it. Warrior tickets are a hot ticket, man. By the way, we're at, speaking of tickets and season ticket holders, let me pull it up here. We're having some fun yesterday. Festus and I. Festus Azili. And Zaza Pachulia and the rest of the crew, the great Warrior sales staff. We were up there in St. Helena at Fremark Abbey Winery. Fremark Abbey Winery. And we went up there. It was an event for suite holders, execs, prospective suite buyers. We met a lot of great people, great resort and casino. Met my guy George from Bulgaria. George of Bulgaria, Spadoni. He's got 4 kids. He goes, I wake up every day 6 a.m. I got you and Shasky on. I met my guys from Sutter Health. The name is evading me. You know how I am with names. But Sutter Health, he's a physician at Sutter Health. He's a big-time roaster. Knew the entire roster. The entire roster. So there's a lot of roasters up there at Fremark Abbey Tavern. So shout out to Adrian. Fremark Abbey Winery. My bad. Fremark Abbey Winery. So Zaza was up there. Festus, we had a good ride back. Great conversations. Shout out to Adrian for having us up there with the Go to St. Warriors. It was a lot of fun. Took home some olive oil. So I get me some nice bread.
Nice.
Just dip it to the olive oil.
I like that. I like that.
All right. You like that? I like that. I also liked George Kittle yesterday.
You like that?
Joining us with Shasky and Baldy. It was a lot of fun. A great conversation to start it off because I wanted to know, how does Kittle feel about Baldy's breakdowns? We got Baldy here all 4 hours. He loves hanging out with us. Loves hanging out with us. Right now, I don't know why. I have no idea why. But what do you think when you see a Baldy breakdown? Do you get jealous when he doesn't break down your film first?
Ha! Oh, I love Baldy. What I love about Baldy is that he loves ball. And you can tell by the way he talks about guys, the way he breaks down their tape, the way they interact with guys at every single practice, how he talks to offensive linemen, and how he lets defensive linemen know that they'll always try and aspire to be offensive linemen, but they're just not good enough.
George, I told
you. So I appreciate love Baldy.
George, I told these guys when they sat down today, they're like, oh, who do you love to break down? I'm like, so I'm just like, I didn't know you were coming on the show, George. I just said, hey, Kittle blocking is worth, like, I think Kittle loves a great block more than a great touchdown. Like, that's what it looks like to me. And when you can get a 2-for-1 out there, like it's a Macy Day sale or something like that, George, like, I'm getting excited in the film room. Like, I'm screaming at the screen watching you, like, just, and just the joy that you have of putting somebody down their back, George, and there goes, you know, McCaffrey off your butt there. You're working with, you know, in unison with Juice or with Trent. Like, it's just fun to watch, George.
Oh, I really appreciate that, Baldy. It's fun to be a part of an offense that takes the run game so seriously. And when, you know, when you can run all the fun outside zone stuff, we have all the motion stuff. But at the end of the day, when Coach Shanahan is still comfortable enough to call God's play 16 power and just run gap scheme down someone's throat,
yep,
there's just something about being a part of an offense that just takes pride in that. And when I can be the tip of the spear sometimes with that, it just makes me want to put my best stuff on tape every single week. And that's why we practice the way that we practice and we go the way we go.
Well, I know Kyle, like he hammers it hard. He learned from some of the best that did it. But the thing about it, though, George, is you tell us, is when you are doing running 15 power down somebody's throat, right, and you can feel that you're breaking the sword, you're breaking the opponent's will, they're bitching at each other on the field about not being in the gap or whatever. Like, there's a joy that only a player that's involved. You fans can't feel that. The commentators can't feel it, but you feel that, George. When you're breaking the sword, you know you got that game won.
Oh, yeah. No, if you have like a 75-play drive and 6 of the 7 plays are run plays, there's nothing that is more demoralizing to a defense because there's just nothing that they can do about it. When you find your groove, when, hey, the deuces and the trays and everything is just flowing together perfectly and there's nothing they can do, and then, hey, they try to blitz you just because they're trying to stop it and you catch them in the blitz and McCaffrey pops around the outside for another 40. There's just nothing like that because, you know, everyone gets lucky sometimes the pass play, a DB falls down, you have the perfect concept, but when you just go hip to hip and you blade drill a defense lineman up to a linebacker and you roll them out, it's hard to beat that feeling.
George, did you end up watching any of the receiver doc?
Did I watch any of it?
Yeah,
a couple episodes. I know there are a couple people in there I was interested in watching.
Yeah, because I thought that you and your family it came off so endearing to so many people. It was so relatable, like seeing how hard your wife is fighting for you guys and just the, you know, the love that she has for you. And then the letters that your dad wrote, I just thought that was really special. And that the fact that you opened that up, I thought it was really cool and to put that out there, and then seeing all you guys kind of praying and huddling together before the Eagle game, I mean, that got Niner fans so fired up.
I appreciate that. You know, I've just tried to show everybody that I am really a normal guy with a very supportive and loving family, and I just want people to know that. Like, I'm very down to earth. My wife's, she's an absolute badass. She keeps me very grounded, and my parents love the hell out of me. So it's just, I want to show that off to people because it is a normal thing. Like, that's how you should treat your family members and those around you. And, like, when you have a support staff like that, when you have people around you that just love you that way, it allows you to go out and be your best self every single day. So just want to normalize that and let people know that, hey, at the end of the day, like while we're football players, our faces are everywhere, there's ads and stuff like that. I'm just a normal dude that just plays a kid's game, and my family's there to support me.
Yeah, and I thought the family came off great. Your wife came off like a superstar, super supportive. When she had all the shoes hanging down from the kitchen, I thought that was super cool for your birthday. And then Bosa making an appearance. Does Bosa not hang out with the boys? Why was that such a big deal?
Oh, just getting Bosa out of the house. Like, he's always down. He'll play some pool. You can go to his place. He's very great at the stadium, but when he's at his house, yeah, he's hibernating. That's just what he likes to do. He likes to do his stuff. That's Bosa for it. And so I was very surprised to see that my wife got out of the house.
George Kittle here on the River Islands guest line on the morning roast. Shasky, Bonte, and Baldy in studio here all morning long since Shasky brought up shoes. I was a little jealous I wasn't at that presser last week when you were talking about Matt Maiocco and Cam Emmett and Greco. Of course, their shoe game is lackluster, George. I wanted to get down there on my Jordan 5s, my Jordan 4s. So what is your favorite shoe right now? Since you got all the shoes at the party and whatnot, what is the shoe George Kittle has to, if you have one date night with your wife and you're going out there, you're like, boy, I got one choice here. What's the shoes you're wearing out there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. And I like to, you know, I like to wear some loud shoes a lot. I think my favorite pair is the Chunky Dunks.
Oh,
just like with the cow print. I'm the Ben and Jerry edition. Like, I'm a huge fan of those. I absolutely love those. My holy grail is the Red October Yeezys, which I was able to get a pair of those from my local Fix Kicks out here in San Jose. They hooked it up, so I was able to find some of those. Besides that, like, I'm a huge Jordan 1 guy, whether they're highs or lows.
Mm-hmm.
Those, they're just wrong. I actually, like, they're comfy, too. You break them in a little bit. They're so comfy. And then I got all the, like, I'm a big Spider-Man guy, so I got, like, the Origins. I got whatever the dot ones are called, but I'm a big fan of that as well. So, I'm a Jordan 1 dunk guy.
I love the Jordan 1 dunks. I got those. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to. I love the Jordans. It's a tough choice every single day. But Baldy, what do you think Baldy walks around in? See, I got Baldy as a Croc guy or just sandals, toes out. What do you think Baldy's rocking on a day-to-day basis, George, if you had to guess?
I got no shoe game, George. I got no shoe game.
I know.
I do my best work barefoot, George. Like, I live on a beach.
I know you do. I know.
I'm in flip-flops. If I'm barefoot, George, like, I know I'm happy. Like, I'm in a good spot if I'm barefoot.
I would definitely say, you know, at the most, he's going to get into some Birkenstocks.
No.
But
my girlfriend would kick me out of the house if I ever had those on, George.
Oh, right, Ball, you got to get into those, man. I'd say, like, half the Niners were Birkenstocks. They're just the most convenient, comfortable shoes.
George, I got the Reefs. I got the beer flip. You know, I could just flip them over. I could pop that beer top with them. Like, the Reefs, they just do me fine.
You know what? If your sandals have a beer opener on the bottom... Yeah. That's what you want. That's what you call a twofer, Baldy.
That's a twofer, George. You got it.
I love that.
Hey, George, I'm going to ask you a football question here, if you don't mind, because
love football.
I just broke down your right guard yesterday, Dominic Pooney. And when I watched George, this kid, he doesn't look like a rookie to me. He looks like he's been playing in this league. Like, he's gotten a lot of reps in preseason. Like, I know he's got power, and he's huge. Like, I think he's an unbelievable addition and upgrade on the offensive line right now.
I think Pooney has done everything that you could have wanted him to do and more as a rookie. You know, like, anyone that comes in as a rookie, it's hard to succeed right away, especially when you're just thrust onto the starting role because a couple guys have gotten hurt in front of you. But, like, that's just it. What the great thing about that is when your name is called, your number is called, and there's an opportunity, like, what are you going to do? And all he's done is take advantage of it. You saw him, he played really well against the Titans, and he comes out and plays really well last week against the Saints, and you see him in practice, and he's very consistent all the time.
Yep.
He goes the right direction every single time. He understands the calls. And I think really probably the only bad thing about Pooney's right now is that he likes to call out all the deuce and the bees, and so then the D-line knows exactly what he's doing every single time. So, but he'll figure that out as a way to, like, you know, you don't need to communicate that. So, like, if that's the worst thing that it's going for you, you're doing a hell of a job.
We've been playing a lot of Baldy's music this morning. He's a big Boss guy. You know, he loves Springsteen and Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, a variety of people out there. Who's on your playlist right now? Like, what's the song? Like, for example, I play Fast Car because Luke Combs, it's just knocking. I know it's an older one. It's been around for a minute. But for whatever reason, I just, it's on repeat. It's on repeat. What's the song right now for you that's on repeat?
That's on repeat? So I'm a big Jelly Roll guy. I absolutely love Jelly Roll because he's a Nashville guy.
Yeah.
So Jelly's one of my top guys. And besides that, I would say Kid Quill's up there for me. He's kind of like a Mac Miller vibe, which I really appreciate. And that's just great music. And then I'm a big Wolf Mother guy. Give me some Joker and the Thief. And also, I'll listen to Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, at any point during the year. That's the best Christmas song ever.
You said Jelly Rolls, and I'm confused here. I thought you was talking about my body here, George. Like, Jelly Rolls on the side and everything. Like, Jelly Rolls. Oh, okay.
He's very popular right now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got a hold of my game, George. I got a hold of my game.
It's 40s.
Hip-hop and R&B all the time, man. I mean, I need some help here.
Oh, dude, we got to listen to Jelly Roll, my guy. He has a new album coming out. He just did a song, MGK. He's all over. He was also on Post Malone's new album.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you another football question in your game, because you've done everything.
Please.
You block as Baldy broke down. You catch the pass. You catch passes. You had a hell of a season last year. And you go in these streaks where, you know, you may be quiet for a couple games in the pass game, and then next thing you know, there's 9 for 181. There's 7 for 100. There's, you know, 5 for 150. Where do you think you need to improve your game at this stage of your career? Because you've done basically everything on the football field.
Oh, I mean, I'm trying to get better every single day. I mean, I was just watching the tape yesterday, and I have a bad inside hand on my outside zone. And so it's just constantly critiquing yourself and constantly trying to get better at one thing at a time. And one thing I always try to talk to, you know, my tight ends or, you know, before we break down, before we go out like the team reps, is, hey, pick one thing and get better at today, whether it's your first step, whether it's your second step, whether it's your ending point, your horizontal leverage, your vertical leverage, whatever it is, pick one thing, whether it's you want to attack the ball better in your routes. That's one thing I always do better at. You know, I'm like top two body catchers in the NFL, and I got to get better at catching my hands more consistently, which is totally fine, and I do a good job of that, but it is what it is, and it's just something that I focus on trying to do a little bit better of every single day.
George, you're the son of a coach, so I feel like, you know, at a certain point in your career, you just have this, not just for you, because of your dad, you have a coach inside your head. So you're coaching yourself. Your inside hand isn't where it needs to be on this, zone run play right here. Like, do you even have to go watch the film, George, sometimes? Or can you already know if the mistake that you made and you're coaching yourself going, I know exactly how to fix this?
I've gotten to the point where it's like 10,000 reps. I was fortunate enough to take 10,000 reps of inside zone and outside zone at the University of Iowa. Yeah. And I've gotten to do the same thing while being a 49er. And so, there's certain plays, if it doesn't work, I'm like, okay, I know that my inside hand was bad. Now all I need to do is when I get to the tape, I'll see how was my footwork. Was my first step bad? All right, I stepped underneath myself. My second step had to make up for it. Yeah, but most of the time I can coach myself. And then it's when you get to the film, was it as bad as I thought it was, or is it not as bad as I thought it was, and I can just tweak one thing here?
Yeah. You're going up against the defense every single day in training camp right now. You've had a very similar defense for 6 years. I'm seeing some wrinkles in terms of three down linemen with their hands in the dirt and some guy standing up. Are you seeing some different stuff from that side of the ball every single day as opposed to the last 5 years?
A little bit here and there. It's kind of fun. Nick Bosa is still Nick Bosa, so, that's its own problem in itself. So that's difficult to go against every single day, but that's a great problem to have. What's really fun for me is getting to go up against Leonard Floyd because, you'll see him. He's in the three-point. He's in the two-point. He was an outside linebacker for the Rams and Bills, and now, has his hand in the dirt, but he kind of bounced between. And getting to go against someone like that who I headbutted twice a year for, 5 years, it's kind of fun to have him on my team and just kind of talk shop with him. So there are some differences and little nuances, and it's going to get called a little bit differently this year, but I'm looking forward to it because I think Coach Sorensen's going to have a great team, and he's been a part of the defense too, so he kind of knows what people are good at. I think it's just going to continually put people in the right position to succeed.
Yeah, excited about this defense, excited about the secondary, but I got a Brandon Ayuk question for you, not the one you think. Brandon Ayuk and Fred Warner have been known to get into it in training camp. A lot of trash talking. Now, Brandon Ayuk's doing what he's doing with the contract negotiations, and hopefully that sorts itself out, and we'll see him week 1 against the Jets. But who is Fred Warner talking to trash to now? Because it felt like he looked at number 11 and was like, all right, I'm going to pick on him. I'm going to just start talking trash to this receiver. Who's Fred talking to this training camp? Who's he talking trash to on the offense?
You know what? It's been a little bit different for Fred just because, his guy Dre Greenlaw's not out there right now, and, those two bounce a lot of energy off of each other. And so people he's talking trash to, I would say it would be either the running backs or occasionally me or Purdy. I'd say he wants someone to talk trash to him, and I usually just give him the silent treatment because it frustrates him. And that's kind of one of my favorite things to do is to frustrate Fred Warner.
I wouldn't want to do that, Baldy.
George, I don't have a shoe game like you do, but I do love your Zenni glasses. I want a contract with Zenni, George. Those are some that's a badass look. In fact, I'm going to do Baldy's walk this year in Zenni glasses if they'll sign me on. Tell me what you see, George, and why it's such a great marriage with you and Zenni.
Oh, Baldy, thanks for asking, man. I love working with Zenni. I've been with him for Guys, you guys, your segues are fantastic.
You got to come on more often.
I know, guys. You got to talk to the Niners, man. They're just holding me back, I guess. That's what it is. They just won't let me. I'm a huge fan of Zenni. They've been fantastic partners with the Niners. I've been with them since 2019. And what I love about them is, they just let me they let me sit down, and me and my wife had to control what the sunglasses look like. We had to pick and choose.
Yeah.
They kind of let us do whatever we want to do. And so then you got to see my personality out there. You see her personality out there. And then they just work with us on bringing those dreams and aspirations to life. So it's been really fun to work with them like that. But also, I really appreciate, they're very affordable sunglasses. You're not looking at spending, a couple hundred dollars on one pair of shades. Sunglasses are meant to be worn, broken, and bought again. And so I appreciate the fact that these are all affordable stuff. that also look really good while you're wearing them.
George, I'm watching that wide receiver doc and seeing just the injuries that you and Debo were going through that we didn't really, I mean, we kind of knew, but we have no idea. I mean, we just have no idea what you guys do to get yourself ready for Sunday. And then seeing you during the Super Bowl have to go out to the locker room and then you come out. I mean, you couldn't even lift your arm and whatnot. It's just a gladiator performance. Now you got to go back to Allegiant Stadium, which you guys, I mean, that's got to be tough, right? Going back to the spot where we just lost the Super Bowl.
I don't really think so. It's a new season. I mean, I'm pretty good at flushing stuff and moving on. Like, if you let things linger and control, like, your thought process and stuff, I mean, it's just going to slow you down for the next upcoming season. There's nothing I can do to change what happened. Would have preferred to win. We didn't. But if I just let that continue to linger, it's just going to affect my overall performance and attitude for this upcoming season. And the great thing about football is it just keeps coming every single year. It's just there right again. It's ready to – you're either going to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you, or you're going to let it, or you're going to let it like just hit you in the face. So, I think we're really excited to go back there. And you know, you might have an emotion or two when you walk into the stadium for sure. Like, I'm not going to try to suppress that by any means, but and I'm pretty good. I like where my team's at. The guys are feeling good, and I'm just excited to go play football because I actually get to, you know, lace up the cleats for a preseason game.
George, I don't think anything irritates me more in this world right now than people that question your quarterback. Like, I don't get any of it. George, none of it, okay? And I think I've probably broken down every performance of his. Tell us what you see every day in practice, George, that nobody else gets to see that makes this kid so special.
You know, I can give you, like, the, you know, like, the corporate answer, yeah, you know, he shows up to work every day, and all that stuff. But, like, you guys don't get to see is – one thing I've always talked about that, like, I think is what elevates, like, just something that elevates quarterbacks or different quarterbacks is when you step in the huddle and, like, your voice and your presence gets the attention of all 10 other guys in the huddle. Because, like, I've been in a lot of huddles my entire career, and, like, while I love all the quarterbacks that I've played with, some of them are just, like, they've got it, whatever that is. And he steps in the huddle, and all 10 eyes are on him. Everybody's looking at him. And, like, just his confidence that he speaks these plays with, how his understanding of the offense, like, he gets it all, like, just in those 5 to 10 seconds that you're in this huddle. And just, like, I don't know if it's inspiring, but I think it's more of a – his confidence makes everybody else in the huddle more confident in themselves. And when you're in a huddle with Trent Williams and Debo Samuel and you're making them more confident than they already are, holy cow, that's wow. Like, that is something that – is very, very good for the 49ers. And so that's one of the things, just like him in a huddle's fantastic. He's an incredibly hard critic on himself. Like, he'll have a pass, he'll come, like, if he didn't like it, hey, what are you thinking on that? Like, I didn't like your angle out of this. Or, hey, that was a ball. I'm really sorry about that. Like, I'm going to put that on you. Or, hey, we need to figure out, you know, hey, you're going to sit in the zone. Let's figure that out. So the next time we have that opportunity, we'll be 100% on it. And he's just so efficient with that. And I just really appreciate that about him.
And you know what, George, you're an official roaster because you dropped an S-bomb. And there's not a week that goes by this show. I don't know any other radio show where people just feel so comfortable and so loose. I swear to God, it's amazing here. Real quick on Shanahan. What do we not know? Because I find Shanahan.
Are you guys giving him stuff on the hair?
I'm not too caught up in the hair. Let Shanahan do Shanahan.
Great.
I'm glad he got rid of the mustache, though. I'm not going to lie about that. But
I love the mustache.
I don't know.
Are you guys ripping him on the hair?
Oh, I love his hair as well.
Well, George, I got to ask you. He's like unintentionally funny to me.
It's flowing.
At the pressers, the way he dresses, the way he rocks the Yeezys, the way he loves the Carter. What is it that you love about Shanahan? Not the corporate answer, but what is it that we don't know about him, the head coach? Because a lot of people see him. He's all serious. He's in his play sheet on game day. What is it that we don't know about Shanahan?
Let's see. I thoroughly enjoy hanging out in Cabo with Coach Shanahan. He's a hell of a time. He likes to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, he's a solid golfer. I enjoy doing that.
Really?
Wow. But that's one thing I really enjoy about Kyle.
Is he
but
picking
I think,
up
like,
the bill?
One of the best things.
Is he picking up the bill?
Again?
Is he picking up the bill in Cabo?
Oh, always.
Oh, that's good.
Who's the biggest cheater at golf on the team?
He's a nice guy. But for one more thing on Shanahan is, like, one of the best things about him is he is so brutally honest all the time. Like, he doesn't want there to ever be a question where you're like, if you want to know what your training is and where you are in his mind and with the team, if you go into his office, he will tell you brutally honestly, with, like, no holds bar. Like, he'll just tell you exactly what's on his mind and what he's thinking. And I think he's done a really good job at understanding that, like, if you fabricate stuff to football players, we pick up on BS pretty quickly. And you have to be honest all the time. And so I think that's, like, one of the reasons Kyle's so successful is, like, since day one and, like, when I first started talking to him in his office was, and, like, other guys that talked to him, is, like, he's done a really good job of just being honest all the time. And I think that's very helpful. And, you know, maybe sometimes he says, like, he tells me more than he probably should, but there are some things I don't want to know because I'm just, you know, I just work here. But I appreciate the honesty because I think that's really healthy in the football team. Now, what'd you ask me about golf?
Well, like, who's the best golfer on the team, and who's the one most likely to cheat? We all know somebody in the crew who's most likely to cheat. They hit a ball in the bush, and they're like, oh, I found it. It's like, you didn't find that ball.
Oh, wow. That question, that starts some angry friendship. I'm going to get yelled at. But I think Jake Moody is our best golfer. I golfed with him multiple times over the spring season. Yeah, he is. Man, he's just casually shooting like 76. Yeah, I know. You know, it's those specialists, man. It's like, hey, what did you guys do for camp today?
They're never getting treatment, George. They always have free time.
Yeah, it's just like, what did you guys do today? I went and golfed 18 while you guys were at practice. Must be nice. Jeez, Lou. Let's see. I would say Jake is probably one of the best ones. You know, I'm trying to think. Trent Williams, you know, you get him out on the course. You know, we got him starting to play like 2 years ago. And, you know, he is a, he likes to win at golf. I will say that. He likes to win at golf. He likes to win it at whatever he tries to do. So you never know with Trent. He could either hit one perfectly straight or he might take three mulligans, and if you don't call him out on it, he might just call it as, you know, what it is.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Nobody's questioning
it. Hey, George, man, this was a lot of fun. I know we cut you on for a little longer than we were supposed to, man, but we appreciate the time with you, man. That was George Kittle yesterday. A lot of fun with him, Baldy, and Chasky, of course. Now we pick it up on the other side with Dave Fleming. That is coming up as we talk a little baseball. And we'll ask Fleming, who are the worst teams you've ever seen as a broadcaster? Because we've been talking about a lot of bad teams here. We get his thoughts on the Niners as well. That's coming up, brought to you by Save Mart at Lucky California.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey.
Larry June's got a new album. Feels like he pumps out new albums every 6 months. My guy stays in the studio. Stays consistent. He has a song called Consistent. I'm consistent. He's Larry June's. That's really, really good music here. Football season is upon us, which means it is time for another Red and Gold Summit. Fremont Bank, September the 4th in Fremont, California, 39150 Fremont Boulevard. And Willard and Dibs will start things off from 2 to 4. And then chaos ensues from 4 to 6. All the chaos from 4 to 6. Guru Steiny, Shasky, myself. And you can come and watch as well. Space is limited. It's on a first-come, first-served basis in Fremont, California. We'll do Call of the Week at 9:05. We got Spadoni in for Shasky. Shasky, he's got to sit in the house and handle the sick baby, LJ, sick Michelle, sick wifey. But he could just play video games downstairs while they cough, cough, and sleep.
Oh, he's chilling. He's chilling.
Big chilling.
Come on, like, he didn't have to get up that early. You think he hit the gym, too? Does he have a home gym, too? He loves telling everyone that he's working out, by the way. No one loves more in the history of this building than Joe Shasky telling people either he's going to go get a haircut or that he's going to go work out.
Or just telling what he's going to do, period.
Like, every single time.
His life story.
All right, see you, everybody. Like just every time.
Even yesterday, even yesterday, he's telling Baldy, well, you know, I'm jumping in the pool, blah, blah, blah. He's funny. He is funny.
We love Joe.
We do love Joe. And we love Dave Fleming. We love Dave Fleming when he joins us every single week, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Giants getting ready for a series against the Mariners, which should be, I'm not sure if there's going to be more than 10 runs scored in this three-game set, considering both pitching staffs here. Both teams are pitching very, very well. It's been the lineups that's been an issue here. But, Flip, good morning to you. And I want to start off the conversation this week with this. We just saw the White Sox in town. They're on pace to have one of the worst seasons in baseball history, 31-97. I mean, literally 31 wins as we head into September here. You've called a lot of games, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball. What is the worst team you've seen where you walked out the booth, Flem, or you walked out from your course IC called a basketball game where you're like, I don't think I've ever seen a worse team. Are the White Sox the worst team you've ever seen? Because, we've been discussing this. I think there's a story in that where a team is just so bad, you're like, how? Why? What's happening here? What's the worst team you ever called? Or the worst team you ever seen in person?
Yeah, that's a good question. I might have to think about that a little longer. There are a couple Stanford football teams that come right to mind.
When Sasky brought that up, Walt Harris?
There was one Walt Harris team and one Buddy Tevens team. Ooh. There was a Buddy Tevens team, and look, Buddy was a good man and did a lot for college football, but at Stanford he had some brutal teams where they couldn't get a punt snap, they couldn't hold a kick, they couldn't block me. I mean, they had a couple teams that were really bad. Maybe it's possible I was a little overly emotionally invested in that, so I was overemphasizing how bad it felt like they were. But when you ask that question, the first teams that came to mind were those two teams.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow, Harbaugh turned baseball, that baby around, you know, Spadotti.
He certainly did.
Go ahead. Baseball's
funny because, like, look, the Giants, I've been here now 22 years, so we've had a couple teams that haven't been very good in that time. It's harder to judge from the outside. Like, I look at the White Sox team and I think, man, any team that has Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert and the catcher's kind of a nice young player, and I like the young shortstop. You start to look at them when you're not watching them every day and you think, well, there's some pieces there. Baseball's just harder to judge in that way, I think. And the beauty of baseball, I can only imagine what it's been like to call every White Sox game this year, but you do have, like, they walked out of the ballpark the other day on Wednesday, the worst team maybe in history. It's arguable that the White Sox are the worst team ever.
Wow.
And 31 times they have tasted what a win feels like. 31 times, not two or three or, like,
right.
So, does that make it a better year or a better sport? No. But a week ago, they beat the Yankees. Then they beat the Astros. They come into San Francisco, and they beat Logan Webb and the Giants. Like, it kind of saves you when you're a baseball guy where you have little things that you can still get, still have fun with.
So you go 3-2 against the A's and White Sox combined. The A's obviously not their best season, although they've been playing very well since the All-Star break. The White Sox, as you mentioned, might be the worst team ever. And now you get the Seattle Mariners, who just fired their manager, Scott Servais, and elevated Dan Wilson as their manager. The Mariners are kind of like where the Giants are at now. They've lost a lot more, but they just can't score right now. They had a 10-game lead in this division like a month ago, and then all of a sudden everyone was just piling on the Astros, like, oh, they're done. I've been likening the Astros to like the Kansas City Chiefs of last year, where you can count them out if you want, and then before you know it, they're going to be leading your division, they're going to be in the ALCS, and look, Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman will be in the World Series. Like, I have that much respect for the Astros like I do the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Mariners, the wheels have just come off here, so, you face the White Sox, take the series there, you should try to beat this team that's down really bad right now. I don't know how you kind of view the Scott Servais move per se. Like, does that light a fire under the Mariners? Does it, like, just kind of, pour more water on the season that's been a dumpster fire? Like, how do you feel about this whole series heading up here? Because it feels kind of odd.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. Like, I've known Scott for a long time. He and the guy who runs this franchise, Jerry DePoto, are very closely aligned. Like, they're good buddies. So it's when I saw the news, I was like, wow, okay, it's really bad up here if they're making that move, because I know Jerry DePoto did not want to do that. Like, there's no part of him that wanted to do that. So will it give them a spark? I don't know. I mean, they're
They're a 500 team. They are very similar to the Giants in terms of how their season has played out. Well, I shouldn't say that because they got off to a better start. But as of right this minute, these two teams look very similar. Now, the Giants have scored more runs than the Mariners. The Giants are a better offensive team by a good bit. But the pitching for Seattle has just been excellent from the very, very start. So they're only separated by a game or so in the standings in different leagues. I don't know how this series is going to go, but I do think it's a pretty safe bet that it'll be a lower scoring series. Firing the manager, like, does that make you hit more? I don't think there's a correlation there, but we'll see if maybe the Mariners play with their hair on fire for a few days.
Yeah, we're talking to Dave Fleming here on the River Islands guest line. You're right. The Mariners had a 10-game lead in the ALS, a 10-game lead. Now, it wasn't as dramatic as, say, the 93 Giants, not to open up an old wound when they were up 10.5 later on in the season, or the Padres, for crying out loud, when they were up 10 back in 2010 late into the season.
Don't talk about that.
Sorry, Loveman. I won't talk about it ever again. It's one of our favorite teams, but it's all good. But the Mariners, you're right, their offense – and they've got some superstars, some high-profile names. Obviously, they traded for Randy Rosarena from Tampa Bay, but Julio Rodriguez has been MIA. He's dealt with injury issues, but I remember his first game back, Flem, he went 0-for-5 of 5 strikeouts. He can't find anything there, so it feels like the same old song for them, just like the Giants with runners in scoring position. It's just driving us crazy here. I guess it's the first of 3 runs to win a game in this series.
Yeah, I think it's driving them truly insane because they have a – this Mariners team feels to me like the 2011 Giants. 2011 Giants were maybe the best pitching team that the Giants have ever had, and they could not hit. And Posey got hurt. That was a big reason why. Pablo's performance went off a cliff, and they traded for Beltran, and he got hurt. The Giants, if they had had even just a competent offense that year, the Giants had a chance to win another World Series. That's how good their pitching was. And that's the way the Mariners are feeling.
Yeah.
They just can't get it done on offense, and they have some names. You're right. And I think maybe it's possible that the guy you mentioned, Julio Rodriguez, is the reason the manager got fired. I mean, it's possible that the Mariners are thinking, we have a guy that we signed to a deal for $300 million to be the anchor of our franchise for the next decade, and his performance has cratered, and we need to figure out if there's a reason for that. And we need to do everything we can to get him back to his level. And maybe they somehow felt like the relationship wasn't good or something was off, and because that would be of all the things that have gone wrong for them, that would be the number one priority if I were running their franchise. What the heck is going on with Julio Rodriguez?
Yeah, no, it's been a very, very big disappointing season for him. Thinking of which, the White Sox game that you mentioned, because they had beat the Yankees. They beat them 12-2. They beat the Astros, and then, of course, the Giants Wednesday afternoon. But a lot of the big talking point, I saw Estes down at the studio, Sean Estes, that is, and we all kind of were scratching our head with Logan Webb being pulled. I get it was a tie game, but he was at 93 pitches and cruising. Would you make it a decision? Obviously, you couldn't touch Rodgers there because he pitched in the previous 3 games, but it felt like a must win, and it felt like, boy, could you have sent Logan Webb out there for the ninth inning? What did you think of that move there, Flem?
Well, all I'll say is that Bob had told me before the game that it could be a real short start for Logan. That he wasn't feeling well. He had tweaked something while he was throwing a bullpen that week. Obviously it wasn't major because he went out there and dominated, pitched great. But they were real concerned going into that start that he was even going to be able to go more than like a – they were running him out there to just see what it looked like. They were prepared for a game where Webb basically had to come out almost right away.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
So I do think that it was, and they underplayed that, and it turned out fine. Now Logan's fine, and he's going to make his next start, and I think we're in the clear. But they were nervous about that start, so I don't think you should be too hard on Bob for that.
Got
one, because I think after 93 pitches, that he was already uncomfortable letting Logan go that deep. He was under the weather; he wasn't feeling good. He had given him a lot, and it was time to let somebody else take over.
Did not know that. Wow.
Talking to Dave Fleming here on the River Islands guest line, and we've been talking about this term with the 49ers, Dave, all offseason with this whole Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams hold-out, hold-in saga, the vibe around the team. It's been a little off for 49ers in their training camp. Obviously, you have two all-pro guys like that out. Dre Greenlaw's rehabbing. It's just been an odd vibe for a team that's coming off a Super Bowl loss, and we got the final preseason game in Vegas tonight, where obviously they lost just a few months ago to the Kansas City Chiefs. What's the vibe been around the Giants? You're clearly tapped in. You're very locked into this team inside and out. What would the vibe be if you could pinpoint it for this San Francisco Giants season?
That's a good question. I mean, inside the locker room, on the team, the vibe is very good. This is a team that likes each other, that gets along, that comes to work every day. I don't look around and see anybody who's, you know, underprepared or not doing what they should do, which, you know, most years do you see at least some of that. And so the vibe to me around the team itself has been very good. These guys enjoy being with each other. They like competing together. I don't think this has been a vibe issue. I think it's just purely been a, well, I mean, there are a few things that have gone wrong for the Giants this year, but ultimately they have not produced enough offense here in the last month. And that is the thing that is sinking their season. They still have time to get that turned around, but the loss to the White Sox was no more frustrating to me than the first two games of the series. Like, the first two games of the series drove me crazy because the Giants had every chance to just blow those games open, like one chance after another. And it was like they just refused to do it, and it let the White Sox hang around. And the White Sox almost stole a game or two extra while they were in town because of that. And that's just happening way too often. The Giants, you know, I am an advocate of hitting with runners in scoring position sort of ebbs and flows, and it's not that predictive of what's going to happen in the future, but it's going on for too long now. And everybody's focused on the batting average, which I get. The other numbers are like shocking. There's no power. There's no on base in these big at bats. It's like the approach has just disintegrated when the Giants have their biggest at bats of each game. And I don't get it. I don't understand, other than to say that it's like the collective pressure has worn everybody down. And so maybe that's a vibe. I don't know, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. That has really derailed this Giants playoff chase.
And it doesn't get easier, Flem, with the three in Seattle this weekend, three in Milwaukee. Now you get the Marlins to begin September here, or August 30th, 31st, and then September 1st. And then September, their schedule. Oh, my Lord. Now, you could say if they handle business in September, they've really earned a playoff spot. But six against the Diamondbacks, six against the Padres, another three against the Brewers, a road trip in Baltimore and Kansas City, and then you end the season in St. Louis. I mean, wow, what a schedule to end the season, Flem.
It's really hard. And, you know, that's where you're missing some chances to pile up some extra wins along the way is probably going to cost them. You know, the Giants playoff chances are not great right now, and that's a lot of that is because they needed to make up more ground between now and the start of that stretch. Never know what's going to happen, and the Diamondbacks and Padres have been so hot, you know, that it's possible that by the time the Giants actually see them, because no team stays that hot forever, it's possible that things will cool off for those two teams. And you like those head-to-head matchups against teams you're familiar with. I think that's a good thing. So we'll see how it plays out. You just got to, you know, for the Giants, the four of us have been saying this all year. Like, where's that they got the one hot streak, the 1 2-week period where they went 12-3 or whatever. And that's been it. They just haven't been able to get on any kind of real roll other than that. And that ultimately has been really frustrating. They have enough good players to get hot and stay hot, and they just haven't done it.
All right, Dave, let's get into a happy place. We got college football this weekend. Let's go. What games are you circling on your calendar right now, Dave Fleming, for some college football season? You're going to be on the call again this year for ESPN?
I'll be doing a season for ESPN. My first game is Stanford hosting TCU to start the year.
Next Friday.
Nice.
Next Friday. And then my second game is going to be Cal at Auburn. So I'm going to have a little Bay Area flavor to start the college football season, which is kind of nice.
What do they call it? The Plains down there in Auburn? They call it the Plains?
The Plains.
Yeah, going out to the Plains. SEC country.
That's right. Hey, no, wait, Dave, who do you like this year? Like, this is going to be such a fascinating year with the expanded college football playoff now. Like, is it going to be Georgia? Like, Bama's got a new head coach. No Saban now. Do we like Lincoln Riley, USC, Oregon? Like, who are you liking this year?
I think in college football these days, if you just go, hey, you know who I like? Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas. You're pretty safe.
There you go.
Like, it's one of the problems with college football at the moment. Like, we got to find a way in this sport to unlock the possibility for championships from teams other than this small group. Oregon's a very talented team. I like the young head coach, although you know, there are a lot of Oregon fans in the Bay Area, and I'm sure they're really excited for the season. He is a very reckless in-game coach. Reckless might be too negative of a word, but, man, he likes to gamble and go for it, it's fun when you're a fan.
Right.
But when the margin is so thin, now maybe his approach will actually work really well in the 12-team playoff era, because you can lose maybe twice if you're a really good team and still – get in if you pile up a bunch of big wins. So maybe that's a better strategy for this era. We'll see. But they're a talented team. They're the best team out west, I think, by far.
Yeah, Lanning, the coach out there at Oregon, he's got those SEC ties coming from Georgia.
Going
he's
at
tough.
Dion last year. Yeah, remember that after that big win?
That was a hell of a pregame speech there. Speaking of which, Cal Stanford, you're going to call those games. Stanford, TCU, wish I was in town for that because it was a Friday. I thought it was this Friday, but got my schedule mixed up here. What do you think about Cal and Stanford now playing in the ACC, I should say? Because, Flynn, even when it comes to basketball, like Cooper Flagg is going to be at Duke. I'm excited for Duke to come to the West Coast. The Miami Hurricanes are going to play Cal in Berkeley. What are your thoughts? Because I know you're a longtime Pac-10, Pac-12 guy. Hey, what's your thoughts now with Cal and Stanford officially being in the ACC?
Yeah, for football, is it good? It's not good. It's not good in any way. But for football, it's more palatable. I mean, like, I really, if I were a Stanford fan, like the idea of not going up to Eugene or going down to the Rose Bowl and watching, you know, Stanford, UCLA, it just stinks that all those are gone. Mm-hmm. And there's no redeeming that. Football, though, you can talk yourself into, hey, look, it's a representative schedule. It's only 5 weeks of travel. The kids can handle that. It's not ideal, but it's the other sports that it's untenable, and it's not going to last. And there's no way that model can work for college kids if you take their college academics at all seriously for the big group of athletes. So it's a temporary fix. They found a home, at least for now. See how it shakes out. Football, though, I can talk myself in as a Stanford fan to, okay, get to see some new programs, maybe go to some new places. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, for both those teams, I'm looking at the schedule and comparing it to last year and thinking, well, you got a chance to win some more games.
Yeah.
Because last year, that Pac-12 was so tough. And the ACC's got a couple good teams, but the Cal and Stanford should be able to pile up some wins this year, even if they're not, you know, as good as they want to be ultimately. They should be able to win some games.
So strange. SMU, obviously Stanford and Cal, you know, Clemson's on the schedule, Florida State, Miami, you got Wake Forest, such an odd, even Syracuse. I still haven't gotten accustomed to Syracuse being in the ACC. I miss them in the old Big East. I talk to Millie about it all the time, like Syracuse in the ACC, just so strange. But you're right, I think it's only going to last for a couple years. It'll be fun while it lasts. I think we'll get used to it and have some fun with that. But I do see a realignment happening in the foreseeable future with college football. But hey, the 12-team playoff, that'd be exciting. That'd be something different.
I think
different.
It's good. It's been a long time coming. If you're going to do what we've done in college football, you might as well have the shame of this whole thing. There's so many things about it that are just horrible. But the Pac-12 got left out of those playoffs for so many years. And the best part about the 12-team playoff is your major conference champions are guaranteed a spot. So that's what I just railed against that for years. Like, the system just was so bad in that way, and they fixed that part of it, and I think that's going to be a really good thing.
Yeah, it took so long. You're so right. I remember back in 93, I was discussing this with somebody the other day when Florida State and Notre Dame, they had played in a regular season, 1-2. Notre Dame wins it, but yet they don't meet in a college bowl game, and they split the national championship. Florida State wins it, and then one year they split a national championship, like Michigan and Nebraska in 97. Just didn't make much sense. We're scrimming for playoffs 30 years ago. So finally, 30 years later, they sort of get it right. Flem.
Yeah.
Have fun. Catch some fishes up there at Pike Place up there in Seattle. Have some fun up there.
Thanks, Dave.
I kayaked in the San Juan Islands yesterday. Oh, how about that for an off day?
Damn.
Look at you.
You deserve it. It's been some tough baseball to watch, man. You and the crew, you guys deserve it. I wanted you guys to take a day off last week. Last Friday, you guys did, obviously, before the A's series. It's been some bad baseball offensively for the Giants, man. You need some runs and some hard runs, Flip. I could hear it in your voice.
I've had enough of the crew. I went by myself. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I went up there all alone and just floated around. It was pretty cool.
Real quick, before I let you go, how'd it go dropping off your daughters?
Oh, yeah.
The airport.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the scene at the curb was no good. The United curb was a mess. But my wife got them there, and they're all set up, and they're on their freshman orientation, like, camping trip as we speak. So, the move-in went well. It's hard to believe they're not at the house. As you can imagine, is a lot quieter these days.
Oh, boy.
A lot quieter.
That's tough.
There you go.
Yeah.
I just brought my little guy to TK. So first time in big kid school after being in daycare/preschool. And it was an adjustment, but now he's got so many friends in the second week. I'm so proud of him.
Flip, I'll handle this one. Clean it up, Spadoni.
Clean it up.
Exactly. I don't want to hear about tears at transitional kindergarten. Stop it. Yeah.
I like how he knew what TK was. See, he knows his thing.
He's been around the block, man. It's not his first rodeo. Flynn, man, that's a good call this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks,
all right, man. Dave Fleming here on the River Island Sketch Line, man.
I love that.
Montessori school, man. Your boy broke down a little bit. Your boy broke down, man. It's like, my daughter, man, it's getting big. What's going on?
I just want the best for my... Well, I always feel extra bad, too, because you can sympathize with it, because we don't do the drop-offs in the morning. So it's like, I feel bad, like, I'm the hero, because I get to do the pickup. So it's just like, there's that. I feel a little guilty about it.
I do.
And I'm also kind of glad I don't have to do it, but we'll leave that there.
Just gonna do that. Yeah, the borders could be tough. Borders could be tough. It could be tough. College football, I can't wait. It starts this weekend.
9 a.m.
Football's back.
Tomorrow morning.
I saw this. It was somebody posted on Instagram. I saw it on Instagram, I think. And it was like, this is the last weekend without football or college basketball until like late April. Like, we're going to have football.
Yeah, you can miss with the college basketball until March Madness. Yeah, but the football,
I'm with you that one. I fell off of college basketball. Although, I'm looking for that. Does Duke have a schedule yet?
Well, that's true. I will be watching Cooper Flagg this year.
Dave, if they do come out to the West Coast, are they going to play Cal and Stafford?
I don't think they're playing Stanford. I looked this up. I don't know if they've announced the men's basketball schedule yet for Duke. I don't know if they've announced that yet. Because I think everyone's kind of looking at it.
Yeah, I'm if Cooper Flagg.
Oh, here we go. Hold on.
Oh, you got it? Let's the schedule?
Let's pull it
up there.
Yes. All right. So we got, let me see which teams. No, I don't see them on the schedule. I see Arizona State on the schedule for them. I see Wofford, Arizona, Kansas, Seattle.
That's non-conference.
It's non-conference. Yeah. I'm not seeing any. So maybe the conference isn't out yet. This is all non-conference stuff.
I need that. I need Cooper Flagg to hit the West Coast.
They're at Kentucky, though, November 12th.
They always play a load of schedule. Yeah. Duke always plays a load of schedule. I mean, you know, they play in the top of the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, top of the top all the time. Conference, man. Yeah, I don't see anything with conference. Up. I think I do, Spadoni.
Cooper Flagg, obviously, we're talking about the guy that was balling during the Olympic training. They were on the Olympic select team with Benajemski, Trace Jackson Davis. Yeah, I don't think it's been released yet. Yeah.
Damn it.
It's all right.
Come on. Wait. I'm going to go to 2024-25. Let's see. Come on. They've got to have the schedule out by now. No, they don't have it. It's the ACC tournament.
I know.
Damn.
It's all right.
If Cooper Flagg comes to Stanford, I know who I'm calling.
Well, everyone's going to be there, right? Man, he's one of those guys, right? Not since who? Zion? Hey,
shout out Laura Wakefield. You're on line one. That's how I knew TCU was playing Stafford. She hit me up and said, yo, you want to come? And I thought they were playing tonight.
Mm.
I was going to make a run for it at the farm. It's like, why not? But they're playing next Friday, and I will not be in town for that.
The TCU Horn Frogs, their Rose Bowl helmets once upon a time with the Andy Dalton when they won it against Oregon, I think.
They were hard.
All time. It's so sick.
I love when they put the rolls in a helmet.
Yep.
Wisconsin used to do it, put the rolls in a helmet. Yep. Michigan sometimes do it. They put the patches, the Rose Bowl patches.
What's the most famous Rose Bowl? I mean, it's Charles Woodson with the rose in his mouth, right? Right. Michigan.
Vince Young.
Yeah.
Confetti coming down after beating USC. Gosh, there's so many great Rose Bowls. I mean, last year was just...
Oh, you were there.
I know. You've probably heard me talk about it a million times.
J.J. McCarthy should have been picked off the first play.
He should have been part of it. Dude, it was unbelievable. Dude, when that play happened... I went to my accountant.
You were like everything on
Bama. I doubled down. Dude, and then Milroe fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 17-13. Mm-hmm. Milroe fumbled around midfield. It was so huge.
Gave him life.
That environment. You ever been to a major college football game?
I haven't.
Other than Stanford Cal?
I've been but those haven't been major. Those aren't major.
You have to do it.
Okay.
You have to do it. I mean, for any football fan, and that's what the Niners-Rams NFC Championship kind of felt like. Because it was so many Niner fans. There was like 60-40.
Yeah.
But it felt like a neutral site bowl game. And everybody was basically standing up the entire game. Like, literally standing up the entire game. Lower level. I used my seat maybe five times that day. A major college football game has to be on the sports fan's bucket list. Or if you go to SEC country, ACC, whatever it is. But a major bowl game, whether it's the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, whatever it is. It is nothing like it.
Yep.
It is split. You got, like I sat with the Ohio State fans for the Fiesta Bowl with the Clemson game.
Yeah.
And everybody was standing up the entire game.
Man.
And it's just noise. There's bands playing. It's, like every play feels like it's just, 4-yard gain. Ooh, it's a big play. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It just means more, right?
That's it just means more.
But it kind of does. But it kind of does over there. Like, we do get this rap because our football, like our college football, because it's like, it's something else over there. We don't, you know, crave that as much. We're professional football. That's the stuff we like.
Yep.
But don't get it twisted. We still, state of California.
Yeah,
look at all the record books. Look at all the trophies.
I know.
We dominate all y'all. All right? So stop, miss me with the Texas. Dude. Miss me with the Floridas. Come on, man.
Dude, the Ohio's. You know, Chris Berman, we're playing the primetime music. And my boy David Taylor sent me to primetime with the Packers Niners. It's a 12-minute highlight package.
Man.
12 minutes for that wild card game to catch two. And Berman, the steam he set, and I was stealing from him. He was like, those bowl games, it feels like you cut the tension with a machete. Not a knife, a machete, but Berman used that line, setting up the Niners. Packers goes, they've heard it all week. Steve Young, 0-5 against the Packers. Niners knocked out of the playoffs the last 3 years by the Packers. This team, 0-8. Da-da-da-da-da. You can cut the tension with a machete. Then he goes to the highlight at Candlestick Park, and I was like, it's a 12-minute highlight package of straight gold.
Berman could paint a picture like no. There's certain guys where it's just, I always would go to him because he still does it with ESPN, like on the field after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He just has a way of talking to these players. And I hate that Steve Young's not anymore because I used to love that. It was him, Steve Young, all the Super Bowl people, and Steve knew everyone. Even when the team's I don't know, Niner fans would hate this, but Pete Carroll, going up and hanging out with Steve after the Seahawks won or stuff like that. It was just so cool. And I do like that Berman's still a part of it, but it does suck that he's not on the regular. And I love SVP, by the way. I do actually really love SVP.
But it's prime time. When you grow up with Berman and Tom Jackson,
it
just hits different.
It's different.
And I mean, just even when they had the Monday night game, the blackout game with the Niners and the Steelers, and it was blacked out, and Berman was doing Monday night countdown, and the Niners hadn't been on Monday night football in a very long time. Yep. And they were finally good again. And Berman, you could tell the Niner roots was coming out of him. Because true story, when the Niners won that first Super Bowl, Eddie DeBartolo tried to give Berman a Super Bowl ring. Berman was like, I can't do that.
He always would pick the Bills and the Niners.
But he was on the field with the catch game. Remember the two guys behind him jumping up and down after the catch game? He's on the field. But when that Steelers game, remember before they segued to Mike Tirico and John Gruden, he goes, and I got to just say, having the Niners back in his position on Monday Night Football against the Steelers, it's like seeing your old college friend after 20 years. You graduate, you move on, and then you meet up with your college buddy, and it feels like it's just right. It was just poetic.
Get chills, man, because I feel the same way because as a Raider fan, he loved the Raiders.
He loved the Raiders.
It doesn't matter. Every single time.
At the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum.
Every time. It would just gives me goosebumps. And you would go there even, because the Raiders have been off my whole life. But when you get a big win, an upset win, you turn it on Sunday night, and whether it's the Niners on a down year, you just watch him talk about your team. It's like, you know what? That made me feel good. And I'm going to be happy all week long. It's going to be a dumpster fire receiving after this, but you know what? It's okay.
Gosh, bro. He inducted Brian Sabian into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame.
That's really cool. I didn't know they were tight.
Yeah, I didn't know they were tight either. That was his presenter, Chris Berman.
And obviously Chris Berman on the call when the Bay Bridge series collapsed for ESPN. Like, he was live right there. I think it was him and, God, who was outside the lines forever? I can't think of his name.
Outside, not Jeremy Bob Lee?
Bob Lee. The great Bob Lee, who did tremendous soccer content there when he was still with ESPN, too.
No, Bob Lee's a legend. He's an absolute legend. All right, you are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ, FM, and AC1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app. Before we get to the lines again, it is time for Caller of the Week. This week's caller is, come on, man. You know what it is. You know who it is.
That's a really,
it's Duke in the City.
That's a really good Duke in the City.
Duke in the City. What's up, Lakeview? Lakeview in the house.
Come on, man. Y'all already know what it is, man. 95.7 The Game is the station. You see all these other stations playing down to me. We the city by the bay. We're Tay and Shasky. The stove kind of cold. I keep my brass beside me. Bugatti and Loveman. The Giants in the field. The better have his glove, man. We got Steiny and Goo. I think it's 10-2. Who will make you last, Steiny on the coup? Listen every day because they be breaking the rules. Willing and Dibs. What are you doing? It's Duke from the city. I think I got something brewing. It's not football season, but the Niners is back. Me and Dim go back like an old Cadillac. We got Debo. Are you pretty Ricky running slant? That's breaking news. You better ask Lou Grant. You moving Twitch. We ain't forgot about you. Special guests in the house. Man, we got the Goops coming in with remarks so clever and smooth. From the east to the west, the north to the south. 95.7 The Game all in your mouth. One Jack, two Jack, three Jack, four. R.I.P. Willie May. We want to thank you for the show. Golden State Warriors ain't only perplexing. Y'all know what's next in. Clay shooting threes and y'all up in Texas. That's how we do it on 95.7 The Game. The morning roll with your special guest, Brian Baldinger, the big ragu. It's ATC UNLV 95.7 The Game for life, baby.
Unbelievable. Right off the cuff. Again, he was following up an Eminem lyric with Brian Baldinger in it, too. He's like, it's nothing.
He had to come in. He had to one up Eminem.
He had to. Come on.
He had to one up Eminem.
He had to.
Big raccoon.
Dude did the big raccoon. And Baldy was loving every single second.
He was smiling from ear to ear.
He loved every single
Baldy,
second.
Baldy, by the way, is just a legend. An absolute legend. He's an icon.
You get happy when you see him.
I do.
You do.
I do. And I mean what I say, man. He is the modern day Madden. He's not John Madden. And he'll admit that. He's like, dude, John Madden was God.
Yeah.
Like, he worked with Madden at Fox.
Yeah.
He'd be in the Fox meetings. And he was telling me between the breaks, he's like, you know, Bonte, we had these Fox production meetings, and there's Pat Summerall, there's Dick Stockton, there's all these guys. And then Madden walks in, and he just shut down the show. And it's Madden. And he's just holding court. And he's just like, I was in awe.
He's literally a larger than life. He's just a massive human to begin with. And then he just has this gravitational pull of just storytelling, his charisma.
Yep.
Just, you want to be around people like that. And Baldy is one of those people, too.
No, he's one of those people. And that's why when, you know, when he comes in here and he's giving his analysis on his breakdowns, nobody does it like him. Wow, look at this Shark Week. Look at it. Yeah. He just gets so excited about it. You can tell the love of the game. That's why he's at all these, dude, he's at the clinics with Von Miller and Matt Max and all these guys, and he's telling them how to chop and what they're doing there. He's unbelievable.
He loves all the linemen, man. Defensive, offensive, just don't get him started on the specialists. He doesn't like those guys.
Dude, Duke is sick. Duke, what a flow.
Hey, when he came in with the UNLV jacket, that was so hard.
Oh, come on, man.
All time.
Come on. From Duke, it's a caller of the week with Duke to get in the zone with Tony in Oakland.
Oh boy!
Oh, hey Tony. Good morning. Don't come down my boy Spadoni's road. I know you always come down Shasky's road. Leave Spadoni alone.
Hey Tony.
Well,
he's Italian, by the way.
You guys play good cop, bad cop, so he's probably just being nice to Shanahan. But since he's a Raider fan, he knows his Chucky coach. If he had those Niner guys, he would have won because the dude gives the momentum and the charisma you guys were just talking about. But that was a killer Kittle interview. Oh, my God. Now, see what he said about Purdy? When they go to the huddle, he makes them more confident. And that guy, Kittle, he's the real deal. So they got the stuff right there. Because as he was saying, you know, his favorite, you know, he's a now guy. So when Shasky asked him, what are you thinking about last year? He goes, no, no, I'm ready to roll, right? And then his one of his favorite songs is Santa Claus is Coming to Town, right?
Bruce
guy's got play. So they're lucky to have this dude.
No, we're all lucky to have him. He's always in the zone, Tony. The attention to detail from George Kittle.
I mean, he is. And, you know, he's one of the best interviews you've ever had because he's ready, you know, he so knows. I mean, this is God's creative boy. You know, he's ready to tell you, you know, what's going on. But one thing he said about Shanahan, which I thought was interesting, that Shanahan's always brutally honest. Now, okay, it's good to be honest, but you can't always be brutally honest. You got to feel out the moment and know what you should say to the individual to make him better or whatever, you
no
know?
Doubt.
And that
no
shows
doubt.
He's a spreadsheet kind of guy, right?
Oh, Tony, hey, you just buckle up and get ready for a great ride this year with 49ers football.
Tony,
we gotta run.
Tony, who's winning the U.S. Open?
Yeah, who's winning the U.S. Open, Tony? I think I'm going to go one of the days.
Oh, my God. But what's her name who was playing Iga? Sabalenka?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you see that interview? For once, that girl has the greatest stuff. And if she could just get out of her head.
Yeah.
And what she did was she, you know, took out the action, the thought.
Mm.
And that's what holds most people back. But you need a charismatic person to help you most of the time to take out the action. Like
I can't wait, Tony. Flushing Meadows is calling my name. Calling my name. That's it for Tony. She's in the zone. She's locked in already.
Arena Sabalenka.
She loves Kittle.
She's a baller.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then we're going to go from Tony to your boy Q out there in Vegas. He owns Las Vegas.
He's my boy.
He's my boy. Your boy Q. My boy Q. He's going to break down the Raiders' perspective as we get ready for the preseason finale. Niners and Raiders. Who they're going to play? Who they're not going to play? Look at the salt on Brendan Ayuk and all that coming up. Brought to you by Floor and Decor.
Just win, baby.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.